This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come to your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to be with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Let us pray. How precious, our Lord, thou art today. How gracious thou art, and how merciful thou hast been to us, for which we give thee thanks and praise and glory. We come asking again for this radio audience that thou wilt send thy word home in power and much assurance to each and every heart, and that we will seek thy face and call upon thy name. Lord, help us. Lord, lead us. Lord, guide us, for we need thee and the power of thy Spirit in this hour. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our heart is encouraged to go on, to continue to preach the Word of God as it is to men as they are, looking to Him to work, to have mercy and lead in the way that He pleases among the sons of men. We're happy that you're tuned with us today and pray that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you. Did you write for your free copy of the book, The ABCs of the Prophetical Scriptures that we're giving away this month? You'll want to write and get your copy. It's a study, concise study of biblical prophecies, a treatment of topics such as the kingdom, the second coming, the tribulation, the millennium, and the Antichrist. This book quotes scripture passages extensively, relates passages dealing with the future to each other, and gives a clear, thorough, and simple way of understanding the subject upon prophecy. The ABCs of the Prophetical Scripture by George H. Clement. It is yours free and postpaid if you will write it. It's the greatest little book I've ever read on the subject. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. You write for your free copy this week and also ask for these messages. We're delivering the series now. Ask for them and we'll be happy to send them to you also. And now for God's message. We've been bringing a series of messages under the general theme, what the Scriptures teach concerning the wrath of God. We'd like to continue this theme today, show you from God's Word the reason that men come under the wrath of God and why God must punish them in a never-ending eternity of damnation and woe. Dear friend, we have seen in our past messages on this subject of the wrath of God that it is one of God's blessed attributes and flows out of His character, which is holy because God is holy. And it is because God is holy that He must and will punish every sin and every transgressor of His holy law if that sinner, you the sinner, be not found in His divine substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've also seen that God's wrath is revealed from heaven, the same place from which His love and mercy and grace is revealed. Also, we have showed you that God's wrath is righteous. It is righteous wrath because the judge of all the earth can only act in a righteous manner. He Himself cannot see and He cannot err. Therefore, His judgments are true and righteous altogether. And therefore, His judgment upon sin, His punishment of sin, is not a capricious thing with Him, but it is done out of righteous judgment. He is not a tyrant. He does not have the heart of a tyrant. But our God, the God of the Bible, acts in a righteous way, and His judgments are true and righteous altogether, for they are done out of a heart of justice and necessity. You see, if sin goes unpunished, then where is God's glory? Where is His honor? How will His throne stand if any rebel against Him and go unpunished? If any rebel goes unpunished, then how can God's throne stand? And dear friend, these questions can only be answered in the light of Holy Scriptures, which reads that His glory, God will not give His glory to another, and that His counsel shall stand, and that His throne shall stand forever, and that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I would like for us today to go back again to the 16th chapter of Luke And look at the picture our blessed Lord himself gave as he lifted the curtain. And let us look into and catch a glimpse of what happens to a soul that dies outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen as we read Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We gave certain truths from this portion last week, showing that death does not end at all, but that a conscious being, a conscious person, this rich man, was in a definite place suffering there, for he was in torment. And so great was his torment that he begged that one might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. He was conscious because the record is clear that he could feel, he could see, he could think. He could hear and he could remember his five brethren who were still on earth, and he did not want them to come to this place of judgment with him. We also found that no prayer of this man was answered. There was no confession of sin, no sorrow for sin that leads to repentance is recorded here. And you ask why? Because the scriptures clearly teach that when a man dies, he is past the place of repentance. You see, that teaching is contrary to scripture, which says that by personal suffering or any other suffering there can be repentance or atonement or salvation beyond the grave. Oh no. Dear friend, only here on earth can there be repentance and confession of our guilt before God. Only in this life will God and can God be merciful to sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. For where death finds us, there eternity will hold us forever and ever. And oh, let me tell you something out of my heart. Will you listen? My dear friend, if death finds you outside of Christ, their eternity will hold you outside of Christ forever and ever. For we have the words in Revelation 22:11, let the unjust be unjust still, and let the filthy be filthy still. And you will be. For where death finds you, their eternity will hold you forever and ever. And if it finds you outside of Christ, and if death finds you in your sins, filthy, unjust, eternity will hold you in hell there and in that condition forever and ever. If death finds you in the Lord Jesus Christ, then eternity will hold you in the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Well, we find again in that same Revelation 22:11 that he that is holy, let him be holy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Oh, I would that the Holy Spirit would take this home to our hearts. And if we die outside of Christ, we have no hope except the torments of hell forever and ever. As we look at the 16th chapter of Luke again today, we ask the question, what was this man's sin? What was the rich man's sin that caused him to be banished forever from God and consigned to a place of torment? Now, he did not go to hell because he was a rich man. Neither did the beggar Lazarus go to heaven because he was a poor man. No. This rich man's sin, and that which caused him to be banished forever from the presence of the Lord and consigned to a place of torment. The reason he went there is found in Ephesians 2:12. Listen. He was without God and without hope in the world. So being without God and hope in the world, he will be without God and without hope in eternity. This brings us then to look at the nature of the natural man, and I want you to hear us. This rich man was born into this world without God, and his sin was that he lived without God in this life, and therefore he lived without God and has lived without God these 20 centuries and shall live without God throughout eternity. If you were able to look into hell again today, if God would some way, somehow, could draw back the curtain and let us look and see this picture again of Luke 16, we would find that after 20 centuries, this man's condition had never changed. He was still tormented in the flame. This is a solemn truth. But it is a truth that is written upon the pages of Holy Writ. Man goes to hell because he lives and dies without God, and lives and dies without his Christ. For you see, because of Adam's sin, we were born in this world without God. You were born in this world without God. I was born in this world without God. Let me say it again with all the earnestness of my soul. Will you hear me? Hear God's word, we were born into the world without God, unless between our birth and our grave we are born again of the Spirit of God, we shall live and die without God. In such a case, though we have gained the whole world, it would have been better for us to have never been born at all. And you ask why? Because having lived and died without God, we shall spend an eternity of woe and suffering without God in the lake of fire. It's solemn, isn't it? But it's the truth of God's word. It's not my word. It's the truth of God's word, and I'm his ambassador. I can't change this message. I can't fit it to suit your taste or my taste. I must preach it as it is to men as they are. My dear soul, will you hear me today? Fellow traveler along life's pathway, will you hear me? If you have not God, then you have not his Christ, and he who has not Christ is an alien and a stranger to all that is good, that is holy, and that is righteous, and that is true. Therefore, if you have any hope for the future outside of Christ, my dear friend, it is an unscriptural hope. It is a soul-deceiving hope. For as sure as you die without God, you will perish, as did the rich man, for there is only one way to God, and that is through a personal acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ. And did you know something? Every one of us, from Adam to the last man, every one of you under the sound of my voice, and your speaker included, must have an encounter with Jesus Christ. We can't get away from it. Philippians 2:9, 10, and 11 says, Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's right. You and I, laugh at it, throw it aside, say it's not worthy of your notice, but you and I will have an encounter with Jesus Christ. We will either have this encounter in mercy in the day when God will look upon us as we bow to Christ with our will broken, casting our guilty sorrows upon him by faith and repentance. We will have an encounter with him as we bow to him in mercy, and God will save us for Christ's sake. Or there's coming a day when we will face him at the great white throne judgment, and we will encounter him then. But there will be no mercy then. For to die without God and without his Christ is to die without hope. Again, the sin of the rich man was contentment without God. Born without God, that was his curse. Contentment without God, that was his sin. Oh, hear me today. Rich and poor alike, if you're content without God, then you're under his curse, for the soul that sinneth it shall die. The scriptures declare that godliness with contentment is great gain, but contentment without God is damning, according to 1 Timothy 6:6. Oh, my dear friend, the blessed man is the man who can say like David, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after the living God. I cannot be content without him. I cannot live without him. He is my hope, and he is my life, and he is my all in all. Will you hear me again? Will you listen to me? If you are contented without God in this world, oh, God's greatest curse on this side of the grave is upon you. For if you are without God, then you are under the reign of Satan, who takes you captive at his will, according to 2 Timothy 2:24 and 26. And so your lot is a terrible one. Oh, my heart goes out to you, you who are outside of Christ. I've been so burdened for you in the past days and weeks. How can I live unless you live in Christ? How can I go on unless you come to know him? How can I deliver? How can I live unless you, my dear friend, who are outside of Christ today, come to know him? How can you live and be content without God in this Christ? Will you listen to me further? The reason you are content without God in this Christ is that you do not see, you do not feel, you do not understand your need of him, and that's an awful condition to be in. And why? It is because your spiritual eyes are blinded by the god of this world, who is Satan, and you see no beauty and you see no glory in the Lord Jesus. I've sat before his word in the last days, and I cried, O Lord, open eyes. Open eyes, O Lord, open eyes. Open spiritual eyes that they may see the glory and the beauty in Christ that you've showed my soul. How my soul has been ravished with a view of him out of his word. He's Lord. He's Christ, he's the Redeemer, he's the Savior. He's the mediator, the go-between, between God and my precious soul, and I praise him for it. My friend, you need that God would work in your heart. You may boast of your free will and say that you would turn to God easily if you chose, and perhaps someday you believe you will. But at the present time, you like sin far, far better. My friend, be not deceived. You cannot turn to God when you please. In this you are under a strong delusion. You may be able to do many earthly things at your own will. You can give yourself to time and to thoughts, your money and your best energies, to all that you have, to any of the things of the world that interest you. But you cannot turn from sin, and you cannot seek and find God when you please. It is true that if you seek him, he will be found of you, for he said, seek me and ye shall find me. But the devil will not even that you seek him unless God is working in your life. And this has been my cry, that he would work. He would work and show you your helplessness and your hopelessness apart from him, and that you abide under his wrath, and that you're under his judgment, and you're going out into eternity without hope and without God. Oh, my dear friend, will you hear me? You might be a good father, you might be a good mother, or a good husband, or a good wife, or a good child, or a good friend, or a good neighbor. You might be moral, and you might be respectable. You might be just in your dealings. You might attend your church and do all the duties of your religious denomination. But my friend, if you do not have Christ, you're hopelessly lost and doomed and damned forever, and you abide under the wrath of God. And the sin of this rich man was that he lived without God, and he lived contented without God. And how many of you listening to me today are contented without God? Your heart does not go to him in prayer. Your heart does not go to him in praise. You do not seek his face. Ask if you would say, "Oh yes, I made a profession back yonder when I was 10 or 12, and all has been well with my soul ever since." But you never pray. You never read the Bible. You never seek after God. You never desire after holiness. You're deceived, my friend. You abide under the wrath of God. You are contented without God. If you knew him, you couldn't live without him. If you had ever tasted that the Lord is gracious, you'd continue to come back. You would say, like the psalmist, "I'll not be satisfied until I awake in his likeness." Oh, you would cry after him if you knew your condition. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart, and that you will know your condition outside of him. And that you might seek him and find him when you search for him with all of your heart. Oh, Spirit of the living God, work in our midst. Oh, Spirit of the living God, do your work in each and every heart, is our cry. Men are lost. Men are going to hell without hope and without God. And your sin is that you're content without him. Oh, but don't die in that state. For where death finds you, eternity will hold you forever and ever. Oh, that you knew Christ. Be found in him, not having your own righteousness, but having the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. If you want a copy of this message, you write us, and we'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. And until this time next week, goodbye. And may God bless you.